the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. He was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people of Jerusalem and all the people of the Judean countryside were going out to him and being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, and a leather belt was around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Kathy Bishop is getting up. She can wave to you. I know she can. She's headed out towards the pink chairs. She has the story of John the Baptizer appearing in the wilderness, and a great story that comes to us, I believe, from India called "Get Out of the Way, Get Out of the Way." So all the young people, if you'd like to have a story time, you're welcome to join her. She's just going to be right out here. Your God is 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 here. Amen. Oh, yeah. I forgot. The message doesn't have any power if you're not trained to hear it. The message doesn't have any power if you don't have eyes to see it. The message doesn't have any power if you don't have any heart to live it. That's what Advent's about. It's about truing ourselves up to hear and to see and to live, so that we might see our God everywhere, in the living word and sacred scripture, in the symbols that point to God's power in the world, in the sacraments we share, in the people around us, and in the life we're called to live. That's what Advent's about. That's what Christian living's about. Heck, that's what Muslim living is about. That's what Jewish living is about. That's what human living is about. It's about preparing ourselves for a message that brings life and proves to us that we are one. That with our lives, we might live the truth of the God we worship. That people are people are people, and that God comes to dwell and make our lives one. 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 See, when Mark opens his gospel, he's proclaiming an ancient truth. Some thousand years before he lived, the words of the prophet Isaiah that a messenger would come and prepare the way. He's saying the gospel of Mark is the fulfillment of that promise. And what does it mean to prepare the way? Well, you know, we have to go back to ancient texts to tell us what that means. That's a phrase that was used amongst the people when the king was coming. And it was a phrase that meant the roadway to your door is blocked. The roadway to your door might just be a footpath. It might be a way that only you know and only you can travel. It might be strewn with boulders and thorns and pits, maybe even wild beasts. To prepare the way is to make that passageway passable for the coming king. Now, we all know how kings come. They have the nicest vehicles. At that time, the cleanest horses, the nicest carriages. They have entourage dressed in finery with bugles. Today, they have Secret Service agents dressed in black with microphones. They have security detail that have done the work to analyze the pathway and make sure everything is safe. See, kings and rulers require broad avenues. And so when the prophet Isaiah says, prepare the way for the coming king, what he means is the king is coming your way. And whatever's in the way had better get out of the way. From the outset, we can hear that like it's law. You have work to do. Your homes and your pathways are strewn with rocks and obstacles and brambles and thorns and pits, and this is no place for a king to travel. But this is no ordinary king. This is a king without an entourage and without velvet finery and trumpets blaring. This is a king with a different sort of a message. Not one who's going to tax you. Not one who's going to lift corporations above you. Not one who's going to judge you by what you produce and how well you contribute to the economy. Not one who expects you to be a perfect parent or a perfect friend or even a perfect God worshiper. Because this king knows we're incapable of all of that. This king knows that no matter how hard we try, we fall short. This king knows that no matter how sturdy we build our boats, they're overtaken by storms. That our best laid plans are subject to forces bigger than we are. That storms will come and threaten us. No matter the ship we build for our lives and our family and our church. My 9-year-old niece died last Saturday. She was born without two lobes of her brain. She lived her entire life with cerebral palsy, not very good motor skills, an inability to speak, very little communication. She lived a life needing extensive care every moment of her life. My brother-in-law, Doug, said, reflecting upon the 10 years they lived with her and the loss they suffered last Saturday, it's like when we got married, we built a little boat. We set out on a trip, an adventure, joyful, full of life. And then the storms came, and we had to shore up our little boat. We hunkered down inside as wave after wave came, and we built up our boat as best we could. knowing one day a wave would come and sweep Kelsey overboard. And that day was Saturday. We lost Kelsey. And not because our boat wasn't good enough. We lost Kelsey because we're human. We lost Kelsey because the predicament of our lives is that we are fragile. The predicament of our lives is that we cannot see our God. We cannot hear God's voice. We cannot recognize God's movement. And a voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Get the obstacles out of the way because the king is coming to your door. The king is stepping inside your small boat." There is no way you can shore up your boat so that it will weather the storms this life has in store for you, your family, your country, your people, and everything that you hold dear. It is impossible. But Mark implores us to hear ancient words coming true while we live and while we weather our storms. No beginning makes sense without knowing the ending of the story. And if we turn to the end of the Gospel of Mark, we find ourselves at the tomb of the king. The women come to the tomb carrying spices to anoint the body of the dead king, and they find the stone of his tomb rolled away and a young man saying to them, "Do not be terrified. I know you've come looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, but he is not here. He has been raised, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. So go. Tell his disciples he's going ahead of them to Galilee." See, the gospel that starts with a word of law to prepare the way so the king can get on your footpath to your door and into your small boat ends by saying, "That king has gone ahead of you. He's gone everywhere that trouble lies. He's gone into the storm that threatens your small boat. He's the source of peace and light in your darkness." The end of the story tells us he went into the heart of death itself. This is where I get into trouble as a pastor. And he kicked the crap out of it. Advent is about remembering who we are and who the God is in whom we place our trust. This is the God of small boats, of cerebral palsy and unemployment. This is the God of every illness and every trouble and every hardship. This is the God of separation who holds things together. This is the God who enters death and kicks the crap out of it. And this is the beginning of our story. Because if we know this is our God, why are we terrified? Why do we struggle? Why do we wonder where our hope is? Our hope rests with the God of the universe who tells us we're one, who climbs into our small boat with us in the middle of the storm and holds us fast. Our God is the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and Sarah and Rebecca and Muhammad and Mary. Our God is the God of small people and big dreams, who fulfills ancient promises with life-giving word and hope. Here is your God. Here is your God. Here is your God. And here is your God. And here is your God. Come, thou font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove.